Thank you for joining us today at A View Beyond the Ordinary. I'm your host, Jolene Lenz. I interview some courageous souls who share their extraordinary story with the goal of helping us pursue our bliss. Let's get started and tune in. I want to thank you all for being here today, and I'm excited to have Timothy Sammons as a guest. Welcome, Tim.
Thank you very much. Appreciate being here.
Well, I met you, Tim. It's been, gosh, back in 2008, I believe, is when we met through a sales training course.
Yeah.
And I'm glad we've stayed in touch, and especially we reconnected recently, and hence why I have Tim here. I'd love for him to share a bit more about his journey. But to begin with, Tim is an entrepreneur and experiential training pioneer with nearly three decades of experience helping corporate clients, developing leaders, medical professionals, first responders, and individuals seeking to strengthen interpersonal and leadership skills. He recently authored Inner Wisdom, Outer Impact, and Leading Your Life from the Inside Out. What a title, Tim, and what a way to start. So obviously this book is something you've been thinking about or creating for a bit. Can you tell me a little bit about what led you to create this?
Thank you very much for having me on and actually exploring the book. This book had been coming to me for about 9 years, and it was just information. I was always doing my own deep dive development, and I had already benefited from some of my own deep dive work. And this was one thing where I wasn't looking to write a book. Quite honestly, I was one of the last people that was going to write a book, because when I went into college, I actually had an eighth grade reading level. It's where I tested out at. So I had to go through remedial for the first year of college to learn how to go to school. And so I wasn't one of those people that was like, hey, I've got a book in me, I'm going to go write a book. I was like, no, I was running the other direction. But inner wisdom is a big thing in my world. Wisdom is, it's beyond intelligence. It's beyond emotional intelligence. It's a combination of so much that goes together. And inner wisdom, outer impact was just one of those things that when we really do our work, it's amazing what shows up in the world around us. And when we lead others from an awareness that's deeper than just the common everyday go, 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 do, 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 we start to create new things in this world. We start to create different connections and possibilities. So this book just kept coming to me. It wouldn't leave me alone, quite honestly. And finally, as I was watching people walking around in more disconnection, more angst, more frustration, I was like, all right, fine, I'll write this book. Because, you know, to see people in the anxiety, the frustration, and not realizing how they're a participant in it,
right,
is a huge factor. And so if we start to take control is an illusion, but take control or responsibility, accountability for what we're creating in our space, in our world, in our interactions, in our connections, that's how you change the world.
I so agree. And I'm glad you heeded the calling. I talk a lot about the podcast, you know, that we have a calling within us and this divine expression of who, what we're here to create. And basically, I believe that helps heal us too, Tim, when we are true to ourselves and listen to this divine calling and kind of unpeel the layers, which you talk a bit about in your book. But what led you, you know, to this awakening, or what was one of your really key aha moments when you went, oh my gosh, I know that I am now more than I ever realized?
There were a number of ahas along the way. I would say probably the most significant that stands out was I always had some sort of contentment or connection throughout my life, even as a kid, but I didn't really seem to fit in. I really didn't seem to, you know, I mean, I fit in enough to socialize, but you know, I still felt a yearning, like a disconnect. There was something that just wasn't connecting. And so I was doing what the world was telling me to do as a kid growing up. I call this programming and conditioning in the book. And because we live in it every day, it happens to each and every one of us throughout our life. So we are in this experience of programming and conditioning. And what I realized was in my early to mid 20s, I didn't know who the hell I was because I was something for everybody else. And I went through what I would call my own soul death. I was on self-destructive mode. I was, I wasn't fully destructive, but I was doing things that was putting, care and concern at risk for myself, my well-being, and everything. And when I realized that I was a chameleon and had been a chameleon virtually my whole life, that chameleon's great in certain situations, but when you live that way, you don't know who the hell you are for yourself. And I didn't. And that's why I was so haphazard, and I can see that energy as a young man going through all this experience and lashing out at times and feeling deep disconnection, deep remorse, deep, just this deepness of emptiness. And the world around me didn't know what was going on because I was a good chameleon, which ironically, I've been an actor for 35 years. I mean, that's, who I was and what I did really kind of led to part of what my profession is, which is why I do that in experiential training and experiential learning, is we create environments so that people can actually really engage in these experiences. That to me is the best form of learning that I've ever experienced. And I see it in people who are engaged with it. A lot of people, tolerate it, but for the ones who are hungry for it, it's the best education they've ever experienced.
Did you have also, it sounds like you just recognized that you had a disconnection or a yearning for more as I listened to you. Did you ever have a teacher that came or synchronicities that came? Because I do believe that God is always there, and whether you call it God or the divine or the universe, helping to assist us. And that's part of why I do the podcast, Tim, is I believe we're not alone,
Yeah.
that we actually have help. Any thing there that you would share with the audience where you knew that I am supported in ways I didn't realize?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm with you, God, the divine creator, universe, whatever it is for you, there is something greater than ourselves. I mean, we've got to check the human ego and just put it in its place. And the divine that has created this entire universe and all the way down to us into our DNA has always been ever present in my life, whether I've known it or not. But I did know it. I had a sense about it. I honestly believe that we come here as, if you look at these infants, I swear they have so much more knowledge, awareness, and wisdom in them, but it gets programmed out of them as they have to adapt to this world. And part of the opportunity of the path that we're on, because it's our path, we have our own unique lessons. Each individual is their own unique lesson. That's why I find it so funny that human beings' ego comes out and wants to tell other people what their lesson is on their path. And it's like, you haven't even done your work on your path. Why don't you do your work on your path and then allow them the space to do work on theirs? But, as these infants, we lose kind of that connection with divinity because we're trying to adapt to this world. But I think part of the path is to be able to come back to it as we go through these life experiences, these pains, these struggles, these opportunities. I am a wholehearted believer that the human ego wants to run away from any sort of uncomfortableness, disconnection, pain. But if you really understand and do the work and go into the deep dive of the work itself, you really start to understand that the pain you're feeling is a reflection of the love you have to share. To sit there and be so righteous or consumed about how a pain is, and people shouldn't experience pain. I don't think you should go out and seek it. I don't think you should go out and like inflict it on people. But because we already have enough of our own, we don't need more from other people handing it to us, right?
True.
So it's the aspect that we forget that part of the reason why we experience this loss, this pain, this disconnection is because we have that in us to connect, to love that deeply. And, I'm not sure if that fully answers your question, but I honestly believe it's this aspect of it's part of our lessons on each one of our paths and how we experience not only our pain or our disconnection, but how are we owning our growth? How are we owning our opportunity to rise above circumstance?
Right. Well, and for you, I mean, you mentioned as a kid you had a feeling that you were connected to something deeper. And part of, I think, what our life is here too, I agree with you, is coming back to that knowing and remembering who we were that we kind of got beat out of us along the way, and then taking responsibility for ourselves. And that's not always easy to do. I found that myself. But in terms of your connecting to your own wisdom, I'm sure you give tools and you've learned, ways that you do that. What is one of the ways you are able to hear that inner wisdom?
Well, thank you for that. I will say this, I am more connected than I ever thought I would be. It's the aspect of just learning to be with ourselves and the perfection of the imperfection that we are. I think that's, I don't know. You talk about the tools. I think one of the big tools is for me, I was always connected. I always had a sense of what I call magic. And not magic as an illusion or a facade, but magic is, that sense of when you first meet that person that you're falling in love with. And it gives you that hope and it gives you that zing of inspiration. That's magic. There is nothing other. There's an energy exchange that goes on between two people. And there's this kind of now. If it grows into something further, great, but that's still an essence and an awareness of magic. Some of the tools that we have, one of the biggest tools is learning how to love yourself and call yourself out on the carpet at the same time. I mean, we buy into these labels, we buy into these ideals of the programming and conditioning that's handed out like Skittles everywhere. And these are the labels. I talk about labels in the book, and we latch onto these labels. I did. I latched onto them. I still do. It's part another part of that programming and condition. You'll never get away from it, but you can create a new relationship with it. And learning how to have this authentic engagement and interaction with ourselves and recognize our labels and move beyond the labels empowers us. It gives us choice. It gives us the ability to create from anew. And far too often, people are like attach their labels. Oh, I have triggers. Virtually almost everybody in this world has triggers. And I guarantee you this, and I say this to people all the time, and some people, it's not to offend them, but they probably are offended, which is, in a kind way, get over yourself. Virtually every human being in this world through this life experience has been traumatized. In some form, in some fashion, they have been traumatized. The problem is we kind of have moved into the programming and conditioning and labels to keep score, to think that, oh, mine's more important than yours. It's relative. Trauma is trauma. Just some people learn how to have a healthier relationship with it than others do at certain times. And it's not absolute. It could be fluid. Maybe right now you're struggling with it, but as you gain and grow a relationship with it, what can open up for you? How can you maybe have a different, complete different relationship? I had a different relationship from my self-destructiveness. That's why I call it, my own soul death. Because if I'd stayed on that path, I wouldn't be here today. I know that. And whether it's the God, creator, my ancestors, somebody's been watching out for me. I mean, somebody's pulled my butt out of the fire a few too many times. And it's like, I honor and respect that I am here for a reason. Whatever that reason is, I'm just going to share the authentic experience I can.
I have goosebumps on that, Tim. And I was going to say, I know we talked earlier before the podcast about, at least for me, you read the book. I've watched the movie. For all of you out there, it's incredible. It was a great teaching tool for me by Dan Millman, and it's A Peaceful Warrior. And it really does get into this too in a deep way. And what you're talking about, that self-awareness to recognize and really, as you mentioned, kind of get over yourself and look at why we're doing. Sometimes I look at what are my motives? Is it out of heart or is it my ego? What am I trying to accomplish and why? And sometimes I realize it's just wanting to be seen or to feel worthy and then just loving myself through it and accepting that, like you just said, we go through pain in this lifetime. And it's part of life, just experiencing the journey. I don't know about you, but for a while I felt like I was bad if I felt bad. Like, oh my gosh, I should be more positive. Why am I not? Why do I feel sad right now? I should be happy about everything. Isn't life too just about accepting where we're at and loving ourselves through the good and the bad?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And it's the thing that I think is a pitfall, because I talk about pitfalls in the book too, but the thing that I think is a pitfall is we think that because we know it, we do it. And we have so much information we don't put into practice. That's why I love doing experiential learning, because it's about saying, all right, if you think you know this, then let's put it into action. Let's play with it. Where it's not going to cost you anything really. It's just an opportunity to engage and explore. But it's that aspect of what you think you know, because I've done it several times. Oh, I know this, I know that. And then I go to do it and I'm like bumbling and stumbling over myself. And I see people do it all the time.
It's great that you do experiential and do these trainings, Tim. I'm sure it benefits many. So, just FYI, for those of you that are interested in learning more, I will have some information on Tim's company and what he does there in the links. So, please check out that. And I also wanted to hit Tim on an area that I've been focusing on recently, and it's really creativity, because I believe that when we are creating our life from a place of from the heart, basically, we're happier and we live in purpose. And I think what at least my world needs more of is doing that more from my heart instead of my mind, creating from what I think I need to be doing versus just letting things unfold in a more organic way. And in your book, you say the first step to creating is to start with nothing. You mentioned to clear and clean your slate. Can you chat a little bit about what you've uncovered about creating?
Well, I love the creative process, because the creative process entails a value that I strive to engage as often as possible. And you'd be surprised how often I struggle engaging it, but it's called fun. Being creative, when you allow yourself the freedom to have fun, the freedom to explore and play. The reason why I value fun is when you watch a child, or even adult, when they're really letting themselves, when they're having fun, they've disengaged from this persona of putting on a performance. They've disengaged, they're usually in the moment, in the reaction, in the experience. And to create, if you think about it, everything in this world around us that has any sort of form outside of nature started with an idea. And that idea started with the possibility or the potential of something. I mean, that's, if you look around the world, for as destructive as human beings are to themselves and the world around them, it's amazing what we have created and what we continue to create. I mean, if we stop tripping over ourselves, we'd already be flying around the planets. I know that. It's just as a collective, we're not very good to ourselves, and we don't really relish the accomplishments as much as we could. From the creative process, I encourage people to start with nothing because it gives you that openness to consider, to explore. A lot of times, and let's say you come to a situation where you want to create something that helps someone. Okay, so you're trying to fix a problem. Great. But give yourself the opportunity to still start with nothing rather than here's the problem and I'm going to fix it. Because usually then that takes us away from the full picture, the full experience of what we can bring into the moment.
I couldn't agree more, Tim. Creativity is such an important aspect of who we are, and having that clean slate to begin anew. Talk a little bit about how creativity has helped you.
Well, creativity, I never really saw myself as all that creative. But I was what I would call, later on, I realized I was an improvisationalist. Before I became an improvisationalist, I was a bullshit artist. As a kid, one thing I would get myself out of situations because I would just start making stuff up. I mean, it was CYA, cover your butt, right? And I was in that experience of just really being in the moment. And what I found is when you're really in the moment, it's amazing what opens up if you're in a healthy, good relationship with it. And years later, like I said, I've been an actor for 35 years, but probably for the first 10 or 15 years, I didn't want to do, probably 10 years, I kept getting told to do improvisation, go do improvisation. And I went and did it reluctantly because I didn't want people to be able to see behind the facade I'd been putting up for so long. And what I realized was learning improvisation was one of the biggest gifts that I learned for myself. And I'd been doing it for a long time. But from that creative aspect as a kid growing up, it was like, wow, I didn't realize I was being creative, even though I had a, save my butt sort of purpose. But it was one of those things like it was a strength. It was an opportunity. And, I didn't go around like fabricating or ripping people off or lying to people, any of that. But even that, and if you're looking at the whole spectrum, because I talk about that in the book, that if we're going to consider everything in this, what's available, then you got to look at the whole spectrum. And on the spectrum is even people who have ill intentions, there's still a creative process in what they're doing. Like creativity goes throughout the whole world. And it's how are we looking to do that? And does that actually resonate from who I am?
And I love that. And I find too that sometimes I think we take ourselves too seriously. And
Oh.
learning to just laugh at ourselves too at times and have more fun with it and letting go. The biggest thing too is for me, letting go of perfection. And I know you've hit on that in what we've talked about is learning that we're all imperfect and we're going to make mistakes. And it's okay to make mistakes and embrace that.
It is. It's mistakes. I've heard it said a couple ways. I was at a church service years and years ago, and the message was about mistakes, and it referenced it back to the film industry as if it wasn't a mistake like a judgment on you. It was a mistake. Do another shot. And it's all in how you want to play with it. It's I look at it as what we call mistakes. You know what? The universe gave you some feedback. It's not here necessarily to judge you or beat you up or punish you for this. It's just saying, you know what? You tried this. This isn't going to work this way this time. The universe is constantly guiding us and giving us feedback, but we see that as we don't really see it like that very often. We see that as more of a judgmental affront to our ego, if we will. But we don't even usually have that much of a relationship with our ego. It's just, this is who I am. Don't treat me like this.
Letting go of that ego and what you just said earlier, the label, I realized too when, giving up or selling my business, it was a huge, opportunity for me to realize how attached I was to telling people, oh, I'm a founder, I own a company. And then learning that, oh my gosh, I'm who I am no matter what, no matter what I do. And the more I can play with life and create things that come from my heart, the happier I have found my own journey to be. So you also talk a little bit about that. I want to just mention that you have a chapter I loved. And your chapter was, and I'm looking, Love the Life You Live. I think more than anything, Tim, your book, it will help you all love the life you live. Because isn't life, I mean, having a life that we love the most important thing that we're here to create anyway?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And there's an interesting dynamic when you think back to the creative question you just asked about cleaning the slate. The reason why we love the life we live is start accepting yourself for who you are, where you're at. You are not broken. If you think you're broken, or you think that you don't, something's not quite working right, and it's a reflection of you, you're not loving your life. I've heard this phrase said a number of times where it's like, live the life you love. Okay, that's great too. You can do that. That's part of the spectrum as well to consider. What I find with a lot of people though, that's usually more of a hope and a dream. Yes, I want to live the life I love, but it's like, how do you live the life you love if you're not going to accept the life where you're at right now? Start loving that. Start appreciating that. This idea that you have to perform, and this comes from my own, trials and tribulations, that you have to perform for others to make them believe in you, total BS. It is about who you are for you, learning to love that life that you're living and then create from that. And you'll be surprised how you get so much more mileage and traction out of that approach, then, well, I'm not loving my life right now, so I really can't live it. So it's just something to consider.
Great advice. And on that note, I'm going to ask, I love this question too. So, what are your thoughts on if you had a wish that you could grant the corporate world? What wish would you grant the corporate world and why?
There's a couple wishes, but I think the first big wish is this. Do what you say you're going to do. I mean, the marketing that happens from so many of these companies, corporations in the corporate world, there's a disconnect. There's a disconnect. It's here, I'm going to put up, this is wonderful, but we care about our clients. This is all this stuff. And then, you hear the stories, and it's like everyone's going to have stories because there are people that just will not be pleased, and that's not the corporate world's fault. But the disconnect is an ongoing disconnect and experience of, don't talk about values that you're not going to embody. Don't talk about values you're not going to put energy or effort into. I had a client. It's funny. I just thought of this. I had a client that went to a company. They were sort of headhunting him, and he went there because of the values that they had written and on the business wall and stuff like this, only to find out that's the only place they existed was on that wall.
Sad.
And it's so commonplace, and it affects every individual from the executives to middle management to the valued people on the street to the valued people who are managing and supporting the people on the street. If you aren't engaged with those values and truly embodying them through practice, through application, you're an empty shell of a soul. And the people, unfortunately, that have to work with this corporation oftentimes end up like that as well, unfortunately.
And you know, it just goes back to, I heard this years ago in Four Agreements, be impeccable with your word. And that's why I think we have to be careful when we are going to put out there to the world what we want to do or embody. What you just said is so essential that we live by it. We don't just speak it, we actually take the action that backs it up and we live it. And it's easier said than done, but that's a great one. I think if companies really did value or their mission statements really put into intention what they intend to do, it would make the world, corporate world, a much more integrity based group
Yep.
of folks and probably more at peace with themselves. So, and you mentioned there was another one. Any others?
It's part of that's there's sort of an extension of that, which is culture is important. You know, who we are, who you are as a business. It's not only a promotion or marketing tool. It's the heart of your business. It's the heart of your essence. It's the energy that keeps the connection with your client. You know, even if your client isn't a participating client right now, do they still value enough to come back to you at a later time? They, you know, so it's around the culture, but it's on an individual basis. Each individual in that company, they're a microcosm of the meta view of that. So if the company's like that, who do you need to be for you in that environment? Who do you need to be? Because each individual that's in that situation is responsible for their choices and who they are there. It's not, oh, the corporation's like this, but I'm one of the good people. It's like going, well, the corporation is the corporation. Question is, does this speak to your values? And if it does, then great, embody them. Help yourself in that situation, help the company in that situation. But if they don't, then go help yourself in some other company that does value the values that you value.
Great. I again goosebumps, Tim. Thank you for sharing that because I think that's great advice for everybody. And again, it goes back to life is short. Do what makes you happy and surround yourself with people that are going to lift you up to a higher level. Ultimately, yeah, we
Yeah.
are kind of who we surround ourselves with. And so I think that's great. And in terms of his book, y'all, I would highly encourage you to check it out. It recently, you just published it last month, if I'm not mistaken. So congrats.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
And it's always a delight, Tim. We could go on. And if anything, I'm going to walk away with today too, is to remember to play and have fun and laugh.
And I want to add one more thing because you had just touched on it. Play, have fun, laugh, and realize that through all of that, you're still in service to others. We're all in service here. That's the opportunity.
And it just goes right back into that movie. Y'all have to check it out, Peaceful Warrior, that we're here to serve. All right, Tim, thank you again. You all have a lovely rest of your day, and thanks for tuning in.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for being here, Tim. Thank you all for joining us in this journey today. We are so grateful that you're here. And if you would like to connect to one of the guests, I always share their information in the show notes on my website, which is jolenelenz.com. That's JOLINELENZ. And don't forget to also subscribe to the podcast. I'd certainly appreciate that. And I'm wishing you all much joy and fulfillment in your path ahead. Cheers, everybody.